Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Action Radio. This is Greg Penglis coming to you from the historic district of downtown Milton on the banks of the beautiful Blackwater River. And now let's get into Action Radio.
You know, it's so weird to have a day off because everything changes when you do. And it's Tuesday already, and yesterday was Memorial Day. And I spent a lot of it doing a lot of nothing because I'm physically exhausted. It's been an amazing amount of stuff going on between Action Radio, the rallies we've had, the day job to keep the show, you know, and everything else that's happening. I wonder, though, when people, you know, say, wish you like a happy Memorial Day, you know, do they really understand what's going on? Or when you hear things like, you know, we're and there's some amazing things I've been watching about celebrating the fallen, and we need to honor the people that gave their lives for our freedom. But the best way to honor the people that gave their lives for our freedom is to exercise the freedom that they gave their lives to give us. And I know that sounds, I'm not trying to be funny here, but it's true that people are now going back to masks and lockdowns and the various restrictions, and they're putting up with a fraud in the White House, and they're not okay with our southern border being flooded with illegal aliens, but they're not really actively complaining, screaming, yelling, protesting, you know, marching on the White House to get the occupant, the thief in chief, out of there. I mean, there's a lot of things that aren't happening. Where it's really happening, where the fight for freedom really is right now, is in England. You know, and you're not even hearing about it because your press isn't free. You know, there's so many things that we need to do. We're losing freedom. So the idea, it's almost like a hypocrisy to honor the fallen of Memorial Day without fighting for freedom to honor their lives, you know, what they gave them for. So it seems to me kind of an empty thing to just simply say that we honor the fallen and we celebrate the freedom that they gave us without doing something about it. And of course, this is what the basis of Action Radio is doing something about it. So the title of the show, yesterday was Memorial Day. Let me slow down a little bit. Yesterday was Memorial Day. Today is Exercise Your Freedom Day, okay? So what I'm trying to do is institute a new tradition here that we actually exercise our freedom. Now, I'm going to hold off on Jean's, you know, theme because it doesn't really apply anymore. And so I'm going to make her a new one, but I don't have one yet. So the best I can do is get a nice little round of applause for someone that is absolutely essential to this show. So let's give Jean a round of applause. Get her on the show here, and let's leap right into it. Jean, how are you?
I'm good. Good morning, everybody. Yeah, that's so true what's going on in England. And I want to encourage people, really, what we need to do here is, once again, get more involved. Really, get involved. Think. Spend some time today for those of you that haven't gotten involved with anything. Think about what are you passionate about as far as what is going on, program, it probably is, but what is going on? What aspect of it that is it that you don't really care for? It could be just suppression of social media. And that's not so much a political thing. It is, but yet it's like, there's so many facets to that with just like Facebook and Twitter and different things like that. And I have a friend, she's in Facebook jail again, and as you know, Greg, all about Facebook jail.
It's Facebook, like, political prison. You can't say Facebook, right? Jail on this show. It implies that we did something wrong. No, we are political prisoners of a big tech system.
Right.
She didn't do anything wrong. Perception is everything. Words count. Go ahead.
Right, exactly. But where did we lose freedom of speech for just the people that have one narrative? Because it's the Democrats or the liberals, you never see them being banned. You look at some of the nasty rhetoric that's out there, and they're never banned. And you're just like, but why? Mm-hmm. Why do
I'll
we
tell you why.
Allow this? And
I don't know why we allow it, but I'll tell you why it's happened. Ever since, and Pianchi will back this up too, ever since white people felt guilty about being called racist when they're really not racist, and that allowed the left to use racism as a hammer to basically hammer everything else. So what we need to do is throw off that misplaced guilt. I don't have it. You know, I'll talk about all kinds of racial issues like I do on the show here all the time. If you call me a racist, I'm going to laugh at you, and then I'm going to tell you to back it up. And then I'm gonna laugh at you again when you can't, you know. So, I mean, that's a correct response. But the biggest problem with this country right now is that the stifling of debate by the use, by the misuse of the word racism. I call it political racism to achieve a political victory. So until white people stop kowtowing and bowing and scraping and feeling miserable and going weak at the knees, until when anyone, you know, of color or not of color, you know, then of course that's racist in itself, because white people have color. Otherwise you couldn't see us, folks. All right. That's just how it works. All right. But until, you know, until that happens, until conservatives stop, you know, going weak at the knees every time the not just the word racist, but you know, it's like, you hate people, you're this, you're that. I mean, the left controls the debate. They do. Not
right,
on this
well,
show. But that's where it started.
Yeah, and the sad thing is, in life, there's many things we can change. Our color is not one of them. And we did not come on this earth and say, oh, I want to be white, I want to be black, I want to be Asian, I want to be whatever. No, we are who we are. And I think regardless who you are, we need to be, one, proud of that because you are who you are. And number mm-hmm. two, it's like we need to quit focusing on race, and I just don't get it, because race, we are all one. It's like, why can't we all just get along and not let the race be an issue? And it's like, for a lot of people, I mean, I'm so tired of, I can't tell you how many times I've been called a racist just because I post something or Trump ad or whatever, and it's just like, no, that is so far from the truth. But people, I mean, interesting how they want to lash out. So everybody listening, I want you, if you are racist, please just do your work as to what you can do to change your thinking. Because it doesn't matter your skin color. All be able to have the same liberties. And we do, because we live in this wonderful country. Don't let people sway you the other direction. And I think those people with children, grandchildren, and even me that don't have children, I think we need to start fighting in our schools, or not fighting, that's maybe not the best word, but speaking up.
No, I think you're right.
We will not tolerate this. It's just like the military and what they're teaching the military. So you're teaching people that whites, you know, are nasty or whatever, and you're supposed to be going in battle or possibly, you know, having to protect this person, that you're being brainwashed into thinking that it's not the, you know, they're not good people. So do they really have your back in times of, you know, emergency and times where they need it? I don't think so. It's like, what a weird society we live in. And I think, yes, we need to take a stand and do not feel like you need to apologize, because you are who you are. You didn't go and say, well, yes, today I'm this or today I'm that. And I guess because of the yolk culture, now we can say we're whatever color we want, even if we're not. But I'm just amazed at, what's her name? Oh, God. The one from Massachusetts that said she was Indian.
Oh, yes. Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah, yes, and Kamala Harris. She's black. She's this.
No, she's not.
She changes whatever her nationality is based on how she, you know, wants to be perceived. That is not right. It's like, it should not matter. You should not be elected because you're the first black Asian American, you're the first Mexican, you're the first whatever, whatever. It's like, no, you should be elected, or you should get a job based on your merits, your skills, what you stand for, and not the color of your skin. It's so interesting how things are politicized that should not be politicized.
Yeah.
It's like, we're
Here's
all
something.
Important. And we're all special, and we all have unique gifts and talents. And we need to use those unique gifts and talents. And we need to use what makes us special, and don't bow down or kowtow or do anything just because someone makes you feel like you need to. Because you know what? Then you're just throwing your energy away, and you're not going to be able to be effective. And how do you want to show your children? You want to show your children, your grandchildren, that you're proud of who you are, that you will fight tooth and nail for what is right and not what people want you to think is right.
See, this is why I never worry when Gene comes on the show about having stuff to talk about. So cool. I want to make an announcement that I made history as the first white man to be an Action Radio host. And the reason is because I created the damn thing. So, you know, anybody that comes along afterwards, well, did you know that a black Madagascar resident, LGBTQ community, you know, and under 5 foot person is now an Action Radio host? Who the hell cares? It doesn't matter. I'm first. I don't normally brag and talk about, you know, blow my own horn. No. But think about this, you know, for the rest of eternity, you know, anybody else can say they aren't actually, they are the first black person, the first, you know, Asian person, the first Jewish person. It doesn't matter. Whatever person you are, different from me, you know, they can say that they're the first such and such category Action Radio host, but it doesn't matter because it's already been done. Okay. You know, it was done by a white guy. So, you know, you look at most of the inventions in this world, they were done by white guys. You know, and I'm not saying that the white guys are superior. It's just that, I don't know, I think we just dream bigger for whatever reason. But that's just a quality that you can't change that fact. That is a simple fact that a white guy was the first action radio host. That's the way
right.
it is. What are you going to do?
Right. Exactly. And the thing is that it is what it is. But it doesn't mean that other people can't go out and do it as well. It's like it shouldn't matter the skin color. And it's just so interesting. It's. Why do people want to use that? I mean, and I know it. I think they just love it when people hate on each other. But there's no need for that. Why? Is it to make them feel strong, make them toot their own horn, make them feel, give them a crisis. Now they have to divert because they want to take, you know, attention off of something else. I think we as a society, not even a society, we as a people, a person, know better. And so it's like, don't get stuck in their rhetoric. Stand tall, stand strong, go for what you believe in, and if someone says something you don't agree with, speak up and say, that is not true. And it's nice if you have something to back it up, but with all the information out there, unfortunately, sometimes I read something and I don't pay attention to where I get it from as far as, oh, so later on, if I need to defend myself, I can go right back here and get that information. I may have to do a better job at that. But it's like, you know, believe in what you believe in. Don't apologize. Don't feel sorry. And do what you can. Do what you can to make this place a better place. This is a wonderful country. We live in a great world. It's like, don't let people say that we're oppressed. Don't, or you're oppressed, or you're oppressing, unless you really are. But don't take someone else's word for it. Quiet down.
How do you oppress someone else these days? You know, this is one thing that fascinated me when I came to the United States, is that a lot of people told me, I got this impression, and especially in not so much high school, but really in college, is that you're a white male oppressor. You know, I said, really? When exactly did that start? How soon after I got off the boat in New York as a teenager did I become a white, you know, white male, you know, oppressor? When exactly was this? And who exactly have I oppressed in my, you know, few short years that I've actually been in this country? It was always a fascinating thing. Well, they look at me like, well, you know, don't you have several generations of extended family, yada, yada. No, I don't. I literally got here. You know, my folks got divorced and I've been on my own ever since. Okay. That's what happened when I was a teenager. So, you know, this is not the assumptions that people make. So the greatest, you know, I think what we've identified, and actually Pianchi's on the line, I'll get him in the conversation. But what we've identified is the greatest threat to freedom is false racism, false charges of racism, of categorizing people, you know, by race, of limiting people's beliefs and opportunities and everything else, but who they think they should be to represent their race as opposed to representing themselves, you know, and the ability, and quite frankly, if I were black, I'd still be the first action radio host. I'd just be black. That wouldn't change anything. I would still do it because everything I've done has not required a skin color. It simply hasn't. There's no handouts. There's no white privilege. There's nobody say, oh, you're a white guy. Let me give you a job. You know, it didn't happen. So there's this nonsense that goes on in this country. That's the biggest thing. I want to ask you one more question. I want to bring on Pianchi. But the question I have for you is, when you're accused of being a racist, Gene, on Facebook, how do you react and what do you do with that?
It's so bad. What I do is I usually say, you are so far from the truth, and then I put, I pray for you. You know, I don't try to defend anything because I feel, one, I don't need to defend myself. I know who I am. I feel I'm strong with who I am. And if people, you know, the thing is, when people say that, you know, you won the argument, or not even the argument, the statement, because number one, it's like they say that when they have nothing else to say. You know, and it's so frustrating because it's like I usually don't say, I mean, I don't say a whole lot, but I must have ticked a lot of people off because I was talking to someone last night and I was like, wow, this person's no longer on my Facebook. This person's no longer a friend. This person's no longer a friend. And I'm just like, wow, just because obviously they have differing views, but really whatever happened to being able to speak your truth, and regardless it's different than someone else, it's like I don't mind if someone else says something that I disagree with. I will speak up. I'm learning not to speak up as much on Facebook, and I do better some days than others because, one, that's not the platform that you want to speak up at because, you know, it's such a divisive platform, I think, as far as people, you know, one way or the other. But when you talk about just black people, I think, oh, especially the young black people, you need to quit listening to people that say that you're never going to amount to anything or make you feel you're never going to amount to anything. How sad is that? How many kids don't do things that they want to do just because they're told they're black and they can't do that? Or your family can't
do that. Oh, I couldn't do it. I'm a white guy.
Why do you think you're special? Because you want to do. You don't listen to them. It doesn't matter what skin color you are. Go out and do your thing in the world.
Hmm. Pianki, got any advice for Jean when she's called a racist?
Jean, you sound like a Florence Nightingale. When somebody calls you a racist, you're supposed to call them a racist back.
Thank you.
See, what they're doing is putting you on the defense. And
right,
then
right,
they consider that they won the battle. You call them a racist back, and they say, no, you're a racist. Then you ask them this. Well, what am I doing that's illegal?
Are you bring up a good point. Maybe I just need to ask, what am I doing that's racist?
Yeah, make him prove it. That's what I did with Warren. Remember when Warren called the show?
Sense.
Yeah, Pianki, go ahead.
Well, racist, what they call racist has been so broadly defined. You know, you could be eating a bagel, and that's racist. But the ultimate question... The ultimate question is this, Gene. What am I doing that's illegal and violating your civil rights, if you want to get to that? Simple.
Right. True.
You can't let these people put you on the defense all the time, make you have a guilt complex. That's what they try to do. Hey, I lose friends all the time on Facebook. Some old ones, you know, basically these old ones. You know, you got a group of people in the black communities. That's gatekeepers, and they want you to think like they do. I posted in Greg, you seen where they had the banner on the embassy there in Bosnia that said Black Lives Matter. I said, get this mess off and put it on the fence. Why come you can't have, if that's the case, let's put a Blue Lives Matter banner on the embassy. Let's put a Make America Great banner on the embassy. You follow me?
I do.
Right.
You know, but the politics of this are hysterical. But the thing is, and this is why I wanted Pianki to comment on that, because I feel exactly the same way, that you have to accuse these people. You have to put them on the defensive. You have to question everything they're doing. So, well, why? What's you can't say what makes you racist, but the fact that you say that they called you a racist, you can say, well, you're just calling me racist because I'm white. And try that on them, you know, and see what happens.
Right.
But wait a minute, huh? or say this is political racism. You're just doing that to try and make me feel guilty. You have no basis for what you're saying. You know, go ahead, prove it. This is what happened when Warren.
Yeah.
Warren called the show. Warren was, he has a show, another show on Blog Talk Radio, and he accused me of being a racist, to which point I laughed. I said, okay, great, prove it. And of course, he had nothing to offer. And then he actually became a friend and called the show several times. But the thing is, Once you sort of, you know, disarm these people with the truth, and you don't have to defend yourself. See, this is the big problem. This is why Dr. Walter Williams is so good, because he made this this absolution for white people, and he had this certificate that says, okay, you're all free, you know, stop feeling guilty. And this is, what, 20, 30 years ago. You know, so unfortunately he passed away, but I still have that as one of my favorite interviews. But we talked about all this kind of stuff. And it's like, yeah, be emancipated. And the guilt that you don't, that there's no reason to have, okay? I am no more responsible for slavery being a white person than I am responsible for, you know, Rome conquering Carthage. Okay? I've got no connection to that, okay? I'm sorry. You know, you can't relate that to me. Neither does, you know, Pianki responsible for everything that happened in Africa, you know, 10,000 years ago. You know, this idea that we're responsible, it's like affirmative action, okay? I used to say this about affirmative action. They're going to have to bring it back again. That the qualified, you know, the unqualified don't deserve it, and the qualified don't need it. So why do we have it? It's racist. You know, advancing somebody because of their skin color? We're going to have a big white privilege discussion on Thursday. Pianki, go ahead.
You know, that was another event that came out of the Biden administration that really beat me off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a group of motorcyclists They call themselves Rolling Thunder. Mm-hmm. And they ride in groups to commemorate those that's missing in action, those soldiers who have given their lives, and those that nobody know about. The Biden administration would not allow them to ride in the commemoration in D.C. just here recently. Now, that is, they've been doing it for 30 years straight.
Mm-hmm.
See, we need to find out who is at the back end of this thinking and reveal themselves. They are truly the man behind the curtain.
The Marxist globalists, you know, that's a really good point. We should talk about that for a bit, because we had Bikers for Trump on for quite a while when we had our 20. Remember when we had our 22 bills, you know, to rock the nation, actually 21 bills to rock the nation. They were hand carried by Bikers for Trump from here in Pensacola all the way to the White House when Trump was still in office. Unfortunately, it was a little bit too late in his administration. But, you know, the bikers did that. Bikers are the most amazing people. Okay, and so to have this blocked out, think about what they did. They blocked people riding motorcycles. Motorcycles represent rebellion. Motorcycles burn gasoline, which means they have a carbon footprint. Motorcycles are freedom, because you get to travel the road, you know, not in a government-regulated car with 15 airbags and all the other crap they have. And you know, so motorcycles are a threat to freedom simply because motorcycles exist and people ride them in defiance, especially where they ride them without helmets, which I think is kind of stupid, you know, but I wouldn't, you know, make a law against it, all right, any more than I make a law saying, you know, you have to wear seatbelts, but if you don't wear a seatbelt, you're an idiot, okay? I can't stop you from being stupid. But the point is that motorcycles represent everything that the global communists hate. It's everything about freedom. That's why Biden stopped it. That's my take on it. Gene, want to ride a Harley?
I think that. Yeah, I think that's pretty true, though. But how sad is that? It's just entity or a group of people. And I'm always amazed, though, at how bikers are, how they are thought of or frowned upon. Like, but they're some of the most amazing people. They're just like any one of us. They just ride a Harley or ride a bike instead of a car, drive a car. So, oh, that is very sad, though, very sad.
Yeah.
But I think that's just one example of many of what's going on in this country now to suppress certain groups of people or certain organizations just because they don't follow the same narrative as the other specific people want you to follow. And that's sad. And I think we just have to keep fighting. And you know what? We can make a difference.
Let me ask you both a tough question. So soon after Memorial Day, we've been at war in Afghanistan for over 20 years. We went to Iraq. We went to we're in Syria. We're in all kinds of different places. And we've been, you know, ever since World War II ended, you know, Korea, Vietnam, we've been a bunch of different places fighting. Are we more free because of that? Any of those wars?
Well, I'm a bad one to ask because I never agreed with war in the first one, and I had friends that totally were for it, but I'm
Which
like,
one?
Okay, if you can tell
Korea?
Me why we're there, maybe I've changed my mind. But
mm-hmm.
the thing is, too, we live in the United States. We should not be putting our values, forcing them down the throats of people in other countries because, one, if they want to change is one thing, but who are we to be God or whatever amongst all the other countries? And that's what I don't like. And number two, it's like I think of all the lost lives here, there, all the families that were torn apart as far as what they're going through. I do not think we're safer. That's just my opinion.
Well,
I,
safer wasn't
I
the
think,
question. The question is, are we more free? If our soldiers
are
giving their lives for our freedom.
I don't think we're freer. I think in some ways, I think Trump helped us be a little free. And what I mean by that is just some of the stuff he did. But really, no, because it's like you still have the same issues, maybe not bringing in the forefront. But no, I don't think we're freer. But our country is different than those countries, too. And so we shouldn't be pushing our values onto them unless they really want it. But otherwise,
if they really
wanted
it,
worry about themselves.
They do it themselves, yeah. Pianki, what do you think?
Well, Jane is right. You know, I noticed that Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama would use the carrot. What is the carrot? The carrot is the U.S. aid that's given to countries, but in cases like Liberia, Nigeria, and Kenya, mm-hmm. and also other countries, they say if you want this carrot, you got to open up your society to same-sex marriage and abortion on demand with Planned Parenthood International. See, that there is wrong. It is totally, totally wrong. And there's two kinds of aid. There's humanitarian aid, and there's developmental aid. For the last 50 years, developmental aid has been nothing but money going down a rat hole.
Okay. I'm sort of making a list here of things that have limited our freedom. The misuse of racism, the limiting of freedom to travel and protests at the White House, wars. I think the wars have made us less free. This is another tough thing to say so soon after Memorial Day, but I've talked about this before on the show, that the perception is that the soldiers fight for our freedom. Well, yes and no. You know, we have a lot of people that lost their lives and a lot of people that are permanently injured and crippled, you know, because of IEDs and explosive devices in places like Afghanistan. I don't know. This is the hard part to say. Did that make me more free? I don't know. I have to think no. And the reason that I think no is because we still have terrorists. You know, the things that are going on between, you know, Hamas and blasting rockets into Israel has more to do with Biden's funding of the terrorists in the Palestinian area in Iran than anything else. And so I think we would be more free if we reserved our soldiers for real fights for freedom. I don't think Americans Americans don't mind giving their lives for something that is absolutely essential to our freedom. World War II, you know, Pearl Harbor was attacked. Guys lined up by the millions to fight that war. Okay. And rightly so. I'm sure I would have done exactly the same thing. However, fighting in Afghanistan for 20 years and Iraq, those are egotistical wars. Those are wars that the permanent war class likes, that the Bushes enjoyed, you know, because, you know, especially Bush the Younger wanted to make, you know, himself proud to do what Bush the Elder couldn't do, all this other kind of crap. And yet American soldiers are dying for these globalist Marxist leaders that are increasing our freedom one bit. And so I want to make the soldiers free to choose more about where they, you know, are going to be fighting, you know, so there actually is a fight for freedom as opposed to fight for the permanent war class. Bianchi?
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you this. Sometimes you have to stop these evil forces where they are before they come to you. Because when they overthrew the government of Libya and you had evil forces get a hold of their weapons catch, well, these weapons have shown up with groups in northern Nigeria called Boko Haram, caused a lot of problems.
Yeah.
So you have to stop evil, because if not, it will spread like a quote-unquote virus, and next thing you know, it will be at your door.
Well, I understand stopping evil. I mean, I have no problem with that. But you've got to stop the evil at home before you stop the evil somewhere else. So the evil at home is getting into stupid wars that kill and injure young Americans for no reason. You know, like I say, Americans will fight and die for a just cause. Afghanistan isn't one of those. All right. You know, and many of the places that we have gone are not legitimate threats to our national security. North Korea is. All right. China is. Russia is. But we should be developing the weapons to defend ourselves, you know, not spending all our money in Afghanistan trying to, you know, build their country into Chicago. I mean, that's a bad example. We're not fighting for freedom properly. We're not fighting for it in the way that it needs to be fought. I think we need to fight for our soldiers so they don't have to fight in these places. I think we need to end the Afghanistan war. That, you know, we've had Concerned Veterans for America on every Wednesday for the last, 3 months? You know, and the single message, the most powerful message that they're trying to get across is get out of that stupid war. Nobody wins in Afghanistan. Nobody ever has. You can go back thousands of years. Nobody wins in Afghanistan. Any idiot who studies history knows that. Even the most basic historian idiot knows that you don't win in Afghanistan. Huh. So that's another way. So you want to fight for your freedom? Stop soldiers dying for stupid reasons. That would be a good thing for us to do.
Well, you know, that's a mixed bag. If you got somebody that's planning an attack on American soldiers, planning an attack on military U.S. military bases and killing U.S. soldiers, and then they run to Afghanistan in order to take shelter and sanction. I think you have to go after those people.
Well, we did. Now, here's the thing that Trump did, two things. You know, the two people that he basically assassinated, you know, or killed, Soleimani and al-Baghdadi, you know, that did more to save American lives than I would say any, you know, 20,000 troops that were in Afghanistan, okay? So you can't, you know, cover the whole country. If you're trying to stop the Taliban is the people. That'd be like stopping, you know, gun owners in the United States. You know, if the gun owners were a group called the Taliban, it'd be the same kind of thing. It's the people. So you've got to know what the enemy is. And the question is, what are the bases doing in those foreign countries to begin with? Do we need to have that base there as a target? Is that base being put there as a target so it will attack to justify further military action? This is what I think they use for. Okay, it's like what was that, Benghazi, Libya? You know, where we lost our soldiers there, where we lost Chris. How was his last name? The ambassador. You know what I'm talking about? That was a place where Hillary was basically shipping arms, you know, to Syrian rebels to attack Assad. It was an arms juncture. Okay, it was an arms shipping point. All right, that didn't come out in the news, you know. But Benghazi, you want to look at the permanent war class. And a lot of it's Democrats. You know, they think, well, Democrats love peace and freedom. Nonsense. You know, you look at, Johnson in Vietnam and Truman in Korea and, you know, some of these other folks that perpetuated the wars. You know, it's this is a bipartisan issue. But ending stupid wars and fighting where we need to fight would be a huge increase in our personal freedom, I think.
Well, then, you know, too, you're dealing with some very, very scrupulous people. And the people that assisted, that were fighting against the United States and Iraq, those leaders in particular, those group leaders, they turned around and worked to overthrow Gaddafi in Libya.
Mm-hmm.
So you got some scrupulous people out there that's willing to do anything and do anything. One day they would be fighting against you. The next day they would be fighting alongside of you for their own particular purpose. Mm-hmm. Like Syria, what was it that McCain called moderate Syrian rebels? What the hell is a moderate Syrian rebel?
Yeah, and I don't want to get too much into the weeds here about these different groups. The big question, though, is, you know, where do we fight for freedom? Gene, what do you think of our military use the last, you know, 50, 60 years, 70 years?
Is this country itself,
yeah,
our country, because we need to, one, take care of ourselves first, because if we don't take care of ourselves, we're no good for anybody else. But
mm-hmm.
also, every country of the world is different, and so we should not be throwing what our beliefs into someone else's face. We just
yeah.
should not. It's not right. I think, yes, countries, but I don't think we should just go there and throw our, you know, put our military there and just, no, I don't think that's a good idea. I think a lot of times we do it just,
mm-hmm.
we do it, I think, for so many underlying reasons than what we're told. And, yeah, you're right. I think a lot of times it's for, to make someone look good or other means that we're never told. But, yeah, we should take care of our own place first. I mean, look at, it's even like all the people that are coming over the border from Texas, all right? Why don't you take care of our country first? And I was just reading something on Facebook again yesterday. Places that still don't have enough workers, so their restaurants are closing, so their workers have a chance. Those that they do have a chance to rest. I mean, how sad is that, that we can't even find enough workers in our country, people wanting to work instead of, you know, just having to close down? And what does our government do? You know, at least the present them, Congress, Senate, what do they want to do? They want to just throw more money at people to get them to not work. And how sad is that? Where's our pride? But, yeah, we need to.
That's why we have illegal aliens to take the jobs Americans don't want.
And that's just what I believe. It's like, yes, we're there if they need it. But the
mm-hmm.
thing is, then what happens often, then those places get resentful too. So I think, and just make us feel like we're the bully. We don't need to be the bully. You know, we can take care of ourselves, and we can help people as they need it, or countries, but, yeah, don't go in there and push our, you know, like, oh, no, you need
yeah.
to do it this way. No, that's not what we're for.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just want to thank all the people. people that are in the military and those families and those people that died, you know, because almost every person that I know that's been in military or are, they have such a, they're so proud of this country and what we stand for. And it's like then we, you know, you turn around and see all the disrespect. How sad is that?
No, I agree with you, but the thing is, the question is where, you know, where do we spend our you know, our blood and treasure, as they say? You know, is it worth going into a lot of the places we go into? And, of course, my answer to most of them is no. Pianki, go ahead, then
no.
I get a little different topic for you.
Well, you know,
those are think about.
It's things that go on that don't make sense. Biden refused to hold sanctions on Russia's pipelines going into Europe to supply them with natural gas. But he also killed the Keystone pipeline that was providing petroleum products and energy to Europe that was benefiting Americans. I don't understand that.
Follow the money.
Exactly.
Follow the money.
Exactly.
Biden's owned by Russia and China. Biden is an agent of them. He is the Manchurian candidate. He is the fraud. He is the fake. He would sell his soul for power. He even said that in an interview back 30 years ago. You know, he'll be a prostitute for money. You can look it up. It's right there. It's plainly obvious. It was playing on the news several months ago that Biden will do anything for power. And if anybody, all you need to do is find the people who will do anything for power, and they will do anything for you. Because if you can give them power, and that's what China and Russia does. They give them power. Gene.
And look at Hunter. Hunter's involved in both those places, you know, or with the, it's like this, and the mainstream media just turns a blind eye. It's just amazing,
but we get,
how sad.
We got bigger problems I want to talk about, Hunter, I'm sorry to cut you off there. Hunter is like a blip on the radar. I mean, yeah, it's big and yeah, it's a problem. But the real problem is the total corruption of our government that allows the system that hasn't arrested both of them already. Sidney Powell said something really interesting. You know, we're going to talk to Josie. Josie was at the big convention with Sidney Powell and Mike Flynn and a couple of other folks there. The next thing to happen, let me see if I can find my quote here from her. Sidney Powell, here we go, declares Trump could be simply reinstated as president when the election correction takes place and states correct their fraudulent Biden electors for legitimate Trump ones. Okay. So you want to talk about freedom. The one of the greatest freedoms we need is honest elections. Okay.
Well,
and
yeah,
so,
we don't have it.
So you can't talk about fighting and dying for freedom when, you know, and it's one of my Facebook tweets. I've got 12 hours left. Well, maybe 11 hours. I got 11 hours left in my my political prisoner status from Facebook. But a lot of folks, Gene especially, and Pianki and other folks have been doing an incredible job. I have the most active page, I think, for someone that's been suspended of anybody I know. It is full of stuff. So much there. But, you know, all right, but let me get some of my Facebook tweets. You know, Democrats are avoiding Memorial Day because they know the fallen didn't die so they could steal the government. Have you noticed the lack of Democrats? They're not talking right now. You know, other than to say, have a nice weekend, like Kamala, illegal alien Harris, party girl. Comments on that? We cannot be a free country until we secure our election process. That's not being talked about, and soldiers can't fix that. That's a legal problem.
But they don't want to
talk
about
on that.
They want you to believe it was fair, and they want you to believe that Biden is the true president.
Don't make me laugh. Basic logic point of view, it is impossible for any person with a brain to believe that Joe Biden could beat Donald Trump in an honest election. That's just irrational.
Right.
In anybody's
right,
world.
Right.
So let's go with the basics. Pianki, I got another big question for you. This is kind of fun this morning. Josie's going to join us in, too. Yeah, go ahead. Pianki?
Yeah, well, I agree with that. Look at the money that they're spending to prevent people from looking at what they say happened, that the election was free and clear. They don't want you to find out that for yourself.
Yeah. Well, that's another one of my Facebook tweets. Go ahead, Gene. I'm sorry. Yeah.
People need to start being held accountable. I'm so tired of, if it would have been one of us doing something like that, we would be in jail. Why are people allowed? It's like, why? The people in Georgia, why are they allowed to not allow, you know, the audit and things to be done fairly? And they're like, oh, things have been audited. They lost 60 court cases because of the election. It's like, we're not talking the same thing. It's like you can do an audit, or you can look at the forensic stuff. You can look at the actual votes and the signatures versus whatever. And they weren't doing that stuff. And when are people going to start being held accountable? That's what I want to know. And number two, I love Sidney Powell, but I'm almost to the point now because I listened to a lot of different things, and I don't know what to believe or not to believe, but they basically said that regardless if Trump, like Arizona's overturned, the other states are overturned, Trump still can't be put in office.
Nonsense.
So would they have to do another election?
Seeing this nonsense.
What do they have to do?
No. That's just propaganda. Let me put it this way.
Okay.
If a bank robber robbed a bank, okay, got away with it, they discovered who that bank robber was a year later, would they say, oh, I guess you got away with it, you can keep the money? Would that happen?
No. Okay.
They'd be arrested. Okay. So there's no time limit. There's no limitations on stealing the government. Okay. It's a coup d'etat. All right. You can't say, nobody can say that that we can't, you know, put the winner back in office. That's irrational too. So think about what's going on. Think about the propaganda. They're getting, you know, the propaganda has you believe that all lives matter is racist, when all lives matter is the one statement that isn't racist. Through the looking glass. Use your logic. Use your reason. Okay. It is impossible to believe that, you know, that we can't put the winner of the election, you know, in the White House. That's irrational. But yet that's the propaganda. Okay, so understand the propaganda for what it is. It's making you believe things that are impossible to believe. That's what propaganda is. All right, let me give you another one. Actually, we got Josie on the line too. I want to get right to her because I want to hear about what happened in the convention. I got more questions for you guys, but we're going to do this for the whole show. This is going to be a great show. Josie, welcome back. What happened in Dallas? Tell us the story.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Oh, we're
well,
on a roll here. We're going nuts.
Yes,
this is so much fun. Yeah.
We had a lot of speakers. The main ones was Mike Flynn, Cindy mm-hmm. Powell. We have Alan West, Louis Gohmert. We had
my favorite.
A lot of speakers from YouTube. You know that they've been banned from YouTube and Twitter.
Hmm.
But it was a very, very, and we also had church. My voice is from screaming so much over there. But we had church, I know, very loud.
I got to tell people a funny story. Josie and I were texting back and forth. I was watching the convention on One American News, and Josie was there. And they had this question and answer time with Sidney Powell, and people were getting the microphone. I kept texting Josie, tell them about Action Radio. Tell them about your bill. Tell them about your fingerprint bill. Just go for it. This is great. Oh,
yeah.
Your turn. we had our fun.
I gave my bill to Mike Flynn so he can give it to Donald Trump. Personally, I handed it to him.
Excellent.
And I also gave it to Louis Gohmert, which he's mm-hmm. going to do more about it, probably. Take more.
Yeah, Louis's one of my heroes, so we got to talk to Louis. Yeah.
Yeah, so I got connected, and I already gave, I didn't have a business card, but I wrote all the information about Action Radio, and I was handing them out to a lot of them.
Yeah.
So I was taking action.
Oh, you and congratulations. Let's give Josie a round of applause. Let me find my applause one here. I think I used one already. Let's use a different one here. It says, here we go. Nice job, Josie.
There you go.
yeah. So I got
to
talk to you off the air about, you know,
yes.
See if we can get in mm-hmm. touch with some of these people and see what we can do with that. But Louis Gohmert's great.
Yes.
Sidney Powell actually met Sidney Powell at CPAC back in 2018, my last big convention.
Mm-hmm.
I remember carrying T-shirts for her. So she may or may not remember me. Probably not, but that's okay. But yeah. So what was the feeling? What was talked about? Did they have any resolutions or proclamations or action items or anything like that? Where do they want to go from this?
Well, the only resolution that I heard from everyone was to stand and fight back to get our country back. They didn't tell us any secret or anything what's mm-hmm. coming. We kind of know. They didn't want to reveal too much of that because we knew there were some Democrats everywhere, you know, and also we were lied to. So, you know, you don't want to tell your enemy what your next step is.
Well, they're not about the legal strategy, but it's nice to know they're fighting for, you know, election integrity. And I think that's a bad choice of words. I would rather fight for election accuracy. That's what we need.
Yes.
Okay.
But we want our country back. And then we had a gentleman from Texas that he's running, this black guy. Gosh, I cannot think of his name. But he said, no, President Trump, he was a four-year term. He's done, and we need to move on, blah, 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 blah. So people were not too happy with that.
Well, let's think about that for a second.
Because
that's a big movement. Well, you have to move on. In fact, the Republicans are doing this. The deep state Republicans, the rhinos. Well, Trump's going to be there in 2024. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm thinking there is no 2024 until you fix 2020. If we don't correct the election, you're never going to have an honest election again. And I think Arizona's back where they were working yesterday.
Yeah, we have to fix this 2020 election first.
Okay.
And George, I don't know how to say his name that well, George Papadopoulos.
Yeah.
He was excellent sharing his story. I mean, he stood for America. Really.
He's been on the show.
And
I talked to him. Yeah, he was on the show.
Yes. And his wife, she's the sweetest thing. We hung out together. Very, very, very nice. She's Italian. She looks Russian, but she's not Russian. She's
Italian. How do you get to hang out with all these folks? She meets Sidney Powell. She meets Mike Flynn. She schmoozes with George Papadopoulos and wife. Josie, how do you do this? You're the biggest schmoozer I've ever seen. No one meets people like you do. It's great.
My husband's cousin, he's very close friend with Mike Flynn, so he got us passes to be in the back with him backstage the whole time if we wanted to. We ate with him. We did everything together.
That's not the information I was looking for. It's more like your personal character. I was like, how do you do this? How do you meet all these people? You just walk up and say hi, and it's like, you know, hi, I'm Josie. Let me tell you about Action Radio.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
okay.
My cousin was calling my husband. He said, you know, your wife was awesome. She got right in with everybody, like she knew everybody. I said, yep, that's me.
Yeah. You should give a workshop on being an activist, of being able to talk to people. I think a lot of people are afraid of famous, well-known people. They don't want to say anything because, well, they're famous, well-known people. I might make a fool of myself. You just go right in and just give your message. Yeah, okay.
And they're
Gina
so
this.
Humble, let me tell you. They're humble. Like my husband's cousin was looking at me, like, what? Does she know them? I said, no, but I'm a people person. I also became close friends with Beverly Beauty, Daddy. The black brother was erasing all the black lives in New York City.
I'm not sure.
Beverly.
Beverly,
the black brother.
Huh.
That she was
She'd be an interesting
the
person to have.
Matter on the streets with paint, you know?
Yeah.
And
unfortunately, Jean had to drop.
Her,
I was just going to get Jean to take advantage of her life coach skills to find out how you do what you do and how we can share that and get other folks more involved. We'll pick it up next time. This is great.
Sure.
Well, I'm so happy for what you do to be able to talk to these people and just walk right up to them. Because I've been to rallies with Josie. We were at the one where we had Ron DeSantis and Matt Gaetz before he, you know, became the rock star with the hair. I mean, he was still a decent guy. And Sean Hannity was there. And Josie just walked up and talked to everybody. It was great. Bianchi, you ever talk to anybody famous?
Yeah, you and Josie.
You're cute.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Oh, yeah. You're so cute, Bianchi. And Beverly and the other girl, Edmund, she's French. We both were going to gang together and go to the one of the immigration centers that Alan West was telling us about that is nearby the area where we were. But about three police officers told us that he believed that they moved all the illegals out of the place. And even if we wanted to, they will not let us in for nothing. So we decided not to go. And but we were ready to go, actually, the three of us.
Oh yeah, yeah. Fabulous. I would have gone in a second. You know, we need citizen journalists. We need, as Andrew Breitbart talked about, you know, anybody with a cell phone can be a journalist. It doesn't require a degree from Columbia. So, what was the theme? What was the conference trying to accomplish?
For God and country was the theme,
okay.
And the God came first. Country came after, of course. And the main thing is to be positive. Not to be hateful about all this radical love, just give it all to God, and not to concentrate so much in their names, their things that they're doing, but to just concentrate in God and focus yourself in us, in our country, our family, because God always wins. And that was the theme for God and country. Because God will restore America again. And we're too busy. Many people are too busy saying F Biden and all that and T-shirt and hat and all that. We shouldn't be doing that because we already know that we won. We already know what the outcome of this. And we already know that God always wins. And that was the theme really to encourage us. And we really had a good pastor. Oh, my God. He was on fire. You need to listen to him. Go back to the recording. I can send it to you.
Well, you can post any videos, post the public videos right to the Action Radio page, or the Action Radio group, which is public group.
Yes.
Anybody can, take over the news stories we post there. Yeah.
If Juanita, Broderick, Broderick, Clinton's stems right. She was very good. She, with her story about Clinton and all that, people really like her. And she was in the back selling her book, and she sold a lot. She was very busy, very humble and sweet and hug you, very tight, just very. And she said it never went away. Never. When you get raped, it doesn't go away.
Wow.
And, I agree 100%, Greg, because I was raped by the age of 14 years old.
Oh, my God.
By a
yeah, I'm sorry.
By a U.S. diplomatic in the Capitol. So, yes. So it doesn't go away. And many people that have been like me, we know it doesn't go away. You always think about it. So,
wow.
But it was a beautiful event. Good food. They have live bands. A lot of the workers in the area, they had like a bar area for people that drank. I approached one of the girls, and I said, why are you wearing the mask? And she even told me that she got the COVID, she got the vaccine, and she's still wearing the mask. And I tried to convince her to take it off, and she will not. But then backstage with the where the head honchos were hanging, we had a different area where they have tried this food for all of us. And I convinced one of the Mexican workers, and he did take the mask off. And he didn't wear it again the whole time we were there.
Oh, good.
And the only thing I really was disappointed is I didn't get to see Judy Mikovits. I wanted to meet her and hug her. And I didn't get to do that because our flight was a little early, so we had to leave yesterday.
We'll meet her.
But she was the last speaker there.
Yeah, she's been nice enough to be on the show a couple of times. I definitely want to get her speech as well. You've raised a couple of really great issues. I'm sort of compiling a list here of all the things we've lost in terms of freedom. One of them, especially when we talk about Juanita Broderick, is the double standard of justice, and this applies to you as well.
Yes.
In that there's certain people who can commit crimes and get away with anything. And we can bring back Hunter Biden, we can bring back Bill Clinton, who allegedly raped. I don't think it's allegedly. I'm just saying that just because, Juanita Broderick.
Yes.
And there are other folks. Hillary Clinton, has not paid for her crimes. Joe Biden hasn't paid for his crimes. You know, any Democrat official who knew the election is stolen hasn't paid for their crimes. They all know it was stolen. Okay, so they're all accomplices because they know it was stolen. They haven't come forward. So there are literally thousands of people that could be arrested over this. You know, it's interesting to see what happens. But one of the things we've lost in our freedom is the double standard of justice. You know, there's a difference between the conviction rates of men and women. Women routinely get, either not arrested or not convicted or lesser sentences than guys do for the same crime. You know, black citizens have been for a long time given disproportionately larger and longer sentences, especially black men. Okay. So the justice system, is horrible in terms of freedom. So the freedom that you have, you know, to be free from to have your presumption of innocence, a lot of it's dependent on, you know, your lawyer, you know, how good you are, how much money you have to defend yourself. You know, so there's some real, you know, inequalities. But the biggest inequality right now is the political class, the globalist class, the alleged leaders are completely absolved of anything that they do. And that totally destroys freedom because people think, you know, they think not only is the election system completely screwed up, the justice system or lack thereof is completely screwed up also. Who wasn't on that
Greg,
one?
Where did Dean go?
Jean had to leave. Jean just doesn't always say goodbye. We keep her so long. She's, a lot of times I think she just looks at the clock and goes, oh, no, I got to go. So Jean disappears. But Josie, you had a point. Let's get to Bianchi. Josie, you want to finish up with something?
But I wanted to say, yes, the Democrats are always talking about women's rights.
Mm-hmm.
And when Juanita came out with the truth, they just blow it off. They just didn't want nothing to do with it. And so is the accuser of Joe Biden's woman, too, the woman that got molested by him. And they don't count. They don't mean nothing to them.
Yeah. So it's like racism. It depends on the agenda. So in other words, if calling somebody a racist advances your agenda, then they do that. If advancing Christy Blasey Ford's false accusation of Judge Kavanaugh, you know, before he became Justice Kavanaugh, advances the leftist cause, then they do that. So justice to a leftist, and this is a huge reduction in our freedom, is dependent on the objective. So it's objective justice. Mm-hmm. If the objective is to convict, you know, somebody to advance your objective, then they go for it. If the objective is to defend somebody who's obviously guilty, then they go for that. So objective justice is not impartial justice. That's another huge freedom we've lost. Bianchi, back to you.
Speaking of women, is Cuomo still in office?
Of course.
That's an excellent point. Yeah.
Isn't that a shame?
Go ahead.
Let's think about this for a second. Isn't that a slap in the face? How is he staying in office? And why come the people not physically throwing him out of the governor's house? I don't understand it.
How do they physically do it?
You
want them to walk in and toss his furniture or what? What are you talking about?
Well, I think so. He should be physically.
Oh, you're cutting out. You must be in a bad area.
You're fine.
But, you know, the way that we fight back is what you have noticed states doing. States are enacting legislation as it pertains to gun rights, as it pertains to voter ID. That's one way to fight back. Mm-hmm. If you have enough states to say to the federal government, no, we're not going to do that, then what are they going to do?
Exactly. And it's the same thing with Supreme Court cases. People think that just because the Supreme Court, you know, makes a ruling, you know, the legitimate part is when they're, you know, settling a ruling between disputing parties, you know, and that could be two other agencies of government, you know, where they say something's unconstitutional. That is their job. Okay. Where it's not their job is to go beyond that and create a policy to fix it. You know, and so their remedies are the real problem. It's not the fact that they have the ability to be a check and balance on the other branches of government to settle disputes. That is their legitimate function. You know, they don't even do that. When Texas sued, you know, for the other states, they refused to hear it. They can't do that. They can't refuse that kind of a case. That's the whole reason they exist. You know, so they're doing things they shouldn't be doing and not doing things they should be doing. There's another reason justice is screwed up. Josie, and then I want to play something for you guys.
Yes. I also wanted to mention there was a gentleman that we became friends to, Jason Sullivan. He's a pro Twitter. Like an excellent Twitter thinks they are going to beat us up trying to do all these things. And this guy, he is so smart, let me tell you. He was telling us a little bit about what they're doing, but he's sharper than they are. Hmm. And he said, they don't know what's coming. They don't know what's coming, he says. So we're going to be connected with him, and we're going to be getting a text or email from him on what to do and blah, 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 everybody that sign up. And also we had a couple reporters trying to sneak in. I believe they bought a pass from somebody, but we threw them out. Flint is
oh, interesting. Well, you knew the left was going to be there. The left is there to see what the enemy is up to, as far as they're concerned. When we come back, I want to take a break. Yeah. I want to play something for you. But there are not only are there two standards of justice here, there are two views of freedom. And this is one of the biggest problems we have, is what freedom means to the left and what freedom means to us real Americans. And I'll talk about that in a second. But we have a new sponsor, and that is the Santa Rosa Volunteers. And you can check out their website at srv1776.com. That's SantaRosa1776.com. And what they've commissioned me to do at Action Radio is give you, you know, a founding minute on some aspect of our founding documents. And, of course, my problem is I can't limit it to a minute. So I didn't. So the extra's on me. And I'll be right back. This is Greg Penglis with Founding Moments, sponsored by Santa Rosa Volunteers. For our first founding lesson, I want to start with the Declaration of Independence. Basic to any understanding of freedom and liberty are these words written by Thomas Jefferson. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You will notice there is no reference to race, color, age, nationality, ethnic group, religion, or any of the common leftist categories they use to divide us. David Azarad, in his article for the Heritage Foundation, titled What the Constitution Really Says About Race and Slavery, December 28, 2015, says that no such concepts as race exist in the Constitution, Declaration of Independence, or any founding document. Therefore, since our founding documents have no such concept as race, it's kind of stupid of the left to say that we are founded on racism. The truth, folks, is that they simply made it up to suit their agenda of national sabotage and destruction, so that you would learn to hate your country. We hold these truths to be self-evident. No case need be made. It's plainly obvious. All men, meaning all people, are created equal. Granted, your status once you've come into the world is different from everyone else's because we all have different backgrounds, families, cultures, wealth, education, etc. We have differences, vast differences, but we are created equal. The whole concept of liberty, freedom, and rights are all dependent on keeping God above government. When governments believe they are gods, they will dispense rights as they see fit. When people believe they are gods, they will feel entitled to everything you have. True freedom comes only from the understanding and maintenance in government through control by the people that our rights are unalienable, that they cannot be separated from us, ever, because they came from a power higher than government. That we the people, also being a higher power, realize and maintain control over government because all just powers of government come from the consent of the governed. How we give our consent is why I created Action Radio. I'll be back next week with another edition of Founding Moments, sponsored by the Santa Rosa Volunteers. All right, just a reminder that Santa Rosa Volunteers, you can get their website at srv1776.com, and you can email them at srv1776@protonmail.com. And if you missed it, listen to the podcast. You'll get it again. All right. So that's my first founding moment, and it's like almost three.
That was good.
And I cut it down.
That was good.
Well, thank you. Yeah. So these, you know, I can make these available to people, you know, or you can just take it from the podcast. But I think maybe we'll, hopefully, Santa Rosa Volunteers will post these as well. And I mean, I can get the recordings to them. We'll see what happens. But yeah, so that's our sponsor. All right. Pianki's left us, unfortunately.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, they're great. Yeah, they're wonderful folks. And so so now we get to this. I'm sure will lead to more sponsors and a bigger show and then all kinds of wonderful things you know, are going to be happening here at Action Radio. So we're just getting started, folks.
Yes.
You have no idea what I've got planned. Let's talk about I've got a ton of articles. I've got a million things to talk about. The lines are open, as they say. So anybody who wants to join us, 215-383-3832. This is where we talk about things that other people have not even thought of and probably won't for at least a year unless they listen to the show. Two standards of freedom or two beliefs in freedom. I got a bunch of articles, below talking about these different things. I got my leftist ones from Salon and history.org, and I've got the conservative ones from the Federalist and other things. But what it really boils down to is the fundamental belief that the left considers freedom you know, what they can give you, you know, the money so you don't have to work, you know, free education, although I know the student loan thing is kind of gone. Everything is based on taking from one person and giving to you. That's how they define freedom. Whereas real freedom as conservatives, patriots, independents, libertarians, and everybody else, even liberals, you know, will define real mm-hmm. freedom as what you do for yourself, what you exercise for yourself. You know, the government didn't give you the right to free speech. You've always had it. So all they can do is take it away at gunpoint. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. All right. So go ahead.
Since you mentioned the salon thing, Erica, her name is Kios. Erica from California, she was with us telling us about Nancy Pelosi sneaking in without a mask and all that, and they shut her place mm-hmm. down, you know. So, and she's from the Middle East. Her family's Middle Eastern. You know, she didn't say exactly what country. She didn't want to say that. But she's Middle East.
Well, yeah. A lot of folks came here from the Middle East. There's a lot of Iranians here who got out, who escaped, you know, under the Shah and under the Ayatollahs and the Imams. And more power to them. You know, in fact, they consider themselves Persians. They don't even call themselves Iranians. You know, so a lot of folks are here, a lot of folks from different countries in the Middle East, you know, that came here. In fact, you go back a couple of generations, my own family, my grandmother, you know, is basically Turkish, Egyptian, and Greek. So I'm actually a person of color. Mm-hmm. I'm part Arab. So there, all you people think I'm just a white guy.
Really?
Yeah, it's true. Oh yeah, go back. You know, you can check the records. You know, but yeah. So I'm such, and plus, since I've been made a member of the Creek tribe, officially, you know, officially registered, mm-hmm. you know, that I'm now Native American, American Indian. So I've got a lot of heritage now that has been added.
You got
to
a little
me.
Bit of everything, huh?
I'm a little bit of everything. Hey, listen, raised in three countries. I have Greek and English ancestry, you know, and it's fascinating. But do you see the freedom aspect? Do you see it as I see it, that the left considers freedom, you know, what they can give you? You know, in other words, you're free to take other people's stuff as opposed to freedom, which is what you can build for yourself, where you can go yourself, what you can exercise mm-hmm. yourself without government. That to me is the big difference. And there's a total miseducation of Americans in terms of what freedom really is.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Yeah, true. And, you know, Greg, also I was telling people that because they were saying on stage that the new media is going to be us, like a lot of the YouTube conservatives. Bernie Suarez. He's mm-hmm. from Las Vegas. He has Truth and Art TV. He was one of the best speakers, actually. And he says, I'm nobody. And everybody said, yes, you are somebody because you're the future. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm just listening.
Okay. You're the future of our people. And I was telling some of the people, like Action Radio, and I was sending out a lot of people your site. I said, yeah, and we take action right on the spot. I was telling people, I said, wow, I'm going to check it out. So it was kind of cool.
It'd be nice to have the new listeners,
So we're going to gain a lot of people listening and probably calling.
No, you do incredible work, and I really appreciate everything you do. I probably don't say it enough, but you do some great stuff. What is interesting is the void that currently exists in conservative thought, because they will say we need to take action, but they're not really sure what action to take. And so this is why this is the perfect time for Action Radio, because not only have we mm-hmm. created a system whereby anybody can take action, all right, we also have a stack of bills that they can act on immediately. And that doesn't count all the new ideas that are going to flood in as the show gets more and more popular and more people start calling in going, well, I want to do this. I'm like, okay, well, let's play with that for a while and see what we can do. When we become a bill writing service, you know, for Americans to be able to take it to their local government, you know, their state legislatures, Congress, the real president, when we get one, you know, this is going to be a fascinating thing to watch and see how it happens. And here's the other thing too, other countries are listening as well. Okay, our listenership in Canada is growing. England and Australia. I mean, I believe the future beyond the United States are the British Commonwealth countries. Canada, Australia, New Zealand. Well, I don't know about New Zealand. They're having other problems. But especially Canada, Australia, and England. And what's happening in England right now is absolutely fascinating. So I've got some stuff to go over on that. Again, anybody's welcome to join us here. But this double standard freedom is not what you're given. okay? And we should talk about rights. I've talked about rights, you know, a whole bunch of times on the show. When we talk about the Bill of Rights, it's not the Bill of Entitlements, okay? It's not the Bill of Wishful Thinking, you know? Freedom isn't as initially attractive to people as free stuff. And that's the problem, because people are greedy and people are selfish.
Yeah.
And the Marxists know this. So they entice you into Marxism by offering you free stuff, and then they take away everything. So, yeah, you'll get a little bit of free stuff in the beginning, but in the end, you're going to lose everything. Whereas in freedom, the government won't take your stuff, but you have to earn it. Okay.
Yeah.
And so the responsibility of freedom is initially tougher than the free stuff that people want to, you know, get. And the fact that so many Americans are taking, you know, free unemployment, knowing full well that they could be employed if they simply got off their butts and got a job, is really scary. So the attitude has changed from the Depression, when people refused welfare. You could not give money away. FDR found out he could not give money away. That's why they created the CCC, the Civilian Construction Corps, and the WPA, the Works Progress Administration. They had to actually create jobs. And even if it meant digging a hole and filling it in, Americans at that time in the 1930s, you know, 100 years ago, 110 years ago, would not take free money. Americans today are loving it. And that's one of the big differences in our country. And this is a huge struggle we have to combat, is this idea that freedom really is what you do, you know, where the government can't touch it. Okay. Free speech.
Yeah.
You can speak freely and the government can't touch it. That's an unalienable right. So I talked about, you know, because your rights come from God. Rights can never come from government, because if they can come from government, they can be taken away by government. That's what supposedly separates us from everybody else. Go ahead, Josie.
And that's what they're doing, trying to give you this little money, another little money, another little money, and unemployment to keep you at home, and nobody wants to work. And guess what happens? They're going to have to depend on the government, and then the government is going to cut you off. And let me tell you, a lot of people are going to suffer, because where are they going to get this money from? And there's a lot of businesses that they're hurting right now. And they're probably going to shut down many businesses because lack of help. Nobody wants to work. And this is bad for our economy. And these people are part of it. They want free stuff, but nothing is free. God says if you don't work, you should not eat. And they don't get that part. And this is the American, the real American people. We do work. We sweat to make the dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And these people are going in the wrong direction. That they want to sit at home because I can make more money than working. They're going to find themselves with no work at all, ever.
Well, now, if I were an employer, okay, and I had employees who stuck with me when they could have taken off and just sat on their butts, and I had employees that are rushing back to work now that the benefits are ending, guess who my loyalty is going to be to? And when the layoffs come, it's going to be the employees that sat on their butt at home. The employees that stuck with me are always going to have a job. That's how I would do it.
One of the Peruvian guys that we know, which he's illegal here, paper ran off. He came like a tourist and all that, and he stayed here. He's been here for 12 years now. He's doing the job with three people in this Mexican restaurant because nobody, they're collecting. So he's making a little more money. And some of the workers are saying, hey, I'll give you $50 if you cover my shift. And they want to sit at home because they're collecting, because they're working under the table. So they're collecting, see? So he's paying this guy an extra $50 so he can do his hours.
See, that's another enemy of freedom, is a lack of integrity and a lack of honesty and a lack of personal responsibility. See, when you get free stuff, you don't have to have those things because the government's giving you free stuff. So they've actually corrupted our moral fiber and brought us to a position where corruption is actually a virtue. It's a virtue to stay home and collect money because the government's giving you money. Therefore, you're being virtuous by staying home. Again, it's through the looking glass. It's this this reversal of reality. It's all the wrong stuff. It's all the wrong teaching. So, you know, the best way to combat the propaganda is to stop people coming out of school being socialists. We've talked about this before, that if we're never going to have a free country as long as the government is educating people. So that's another thing we need to change.
Yeah.
All right. I got an article from England you're going to love. All right. Okay. So I'm going to play that in just a bit. I want to play one little promotional thing here, and I'll be right back in a minute.
Action Radio. Part of the ADHD Radio Network. The ultimate free speech zone.
We the people give our consent to be governed through writing the laws by which we are governed, and have the power through juries to nullify the laws by which we do not consent to be governed. At Action Radio, we don't report the news. We are the news. Every other show reports what has happened. We talk about what can happen. From the questions no one has thought to ask, to the answers no one has thought to consider, to the actions no one has dared to take. That is Action Radio.
Yeah, then the fact that we have more fun here because I'm the boss and I don't care. I don't make rules. The first rule of Action Radio is there are no rules. So we're completely open to do what we want here. All right, I found a new website. You're going to love it. I'll be able to post it, I think, 10 and a half hours as soon as my political prisoner sentence is over with Facebook on their third consecutive 30-day suspension based on one post that I shared three times. And they kept piling on new ones.
What are you going to do if they continue another 30 days? What are you going to do?
Let's check that right now. Let's get the current count. Let's say, how long is it? First of all, I blocked off. I basically blocked a bunch of leftists. I don't post on leftist website anymore because I don't need the hassle. 9 hours.
Yeah.
We were 9 hours to go. So I don't think it's going to be as much of a problem simply because I'm, whereas I'd opened our show up to leftists, my page, I opened up Action Radio to the left. I opened up debate. And then when they started insulting and lying and doing everything else, and I called them on their insults and lies, and they reported me to Facebook saying I was bullying, then you can't be on my page anymore. You can't be a part of Action Radio.
Yeah.
Action Radio does not need leftists who are so ingrained in their bubble and their mistaken ideology. Whereas I didn't think I could convince them anyway, quite frankly, that wasn't the point. The point was to open the forum. I don't even want to open the forum to them anymore because they abused it. So screw them. You lose. So
yeah.
Action Radio is going to, we'll preach to our converted. So I think our job, it's more important for us to not just preach to the converted, but to move the converted, light years further than they could have thought themselves. So one more question before I get started on this article. During the convention, when they talked about Americans have to take their country back, did they have any specifics for how to do that? Because we do.
Yes. Like I said, we're going to be connected to this gentleman, Jason Sullivan, and I'm going to give you details on what to do. And we can spread the word to all the conservative patriots, and that's why we gave him our email, our text, and we'll be sharing with you on what to do for the conservative people.
Okay. I want to know who he is. And
does
he have a public position that you can announce who he is, or should we just keep that quiet for now?
No, he don't mind.
What's his job? What's his position? Is he media? Is he a writer?
What is he? He probably knows more than the guys from Twitter on how to get into all these tweets and things. Like he says, I can get you in with no problem. They will never know you back in.
Oh,
so
this is interesting. So he's a Twitter critter.
He is.
I just made that up.
That sounds cute, actually.
Yeah, you can share it with
him. You don't know what's coming. Yeah.
I don't think anybody does.
here's
the thing.
You don't know what's going on. He knows a lot.
Okay, well, let him share Action Radio.
Yeah.
Because, quite honestly,
yeah.
I think this is going to sound really arrogant, but I can't help it. I think it's true that the greatest source of ideas for the coming conservative rebellion and proper taking of the government offices that we won is Action Radio. Because I don't see anybody else out there with the kind of ideas, the depth of ideas, the work that we've already done to implement those ideas, the legislation that we have written that anybody can share with Congress, with the media, with anybody you want, with your church, with your groups, your friends. We have stuff that is so far advanced, compared to anybody else in the country right now that,
You're the only one, yeah. Like
we're it.
Yeah.
We've got the ideas.
Yeah.
So for everybody's still talking about we have to take our country back. We've already said, here's how. Okay. We've already written the law. All you have to do is get them to Congress and get them to state legislatures. Look, here's how. And we're not done. because I want those ideas from those people out there. And more and more ideas are going to come in as the show gets bigger. It's going to be fascinating. You're in the right place at the right time, Josie. Hang on. It's going to get really exciting here soon. All right. I found this website called
YouTube.
Oh, you know, you were there right at the beginning. Right. You go back to my WBY days. You're one of the first that that said, hey, you're interesting. What are you talking about?
Right.
So Josie's one of the originals. Okay, Josie's one of the original Action Radio people, and we'll always have a place of honor as we go forth in our mission to really save America. All right. So UK Reloaded. I found this website this morning, actually, and it came from Health Impact News. That's one of my sources. Health Impact News and Vaccine Impact News are my go-to sites, the ones you can't put on Facebook, for what's really happening with vaccines. And we'll get that tomorrow because we have two reports tomorrow. Tomorrow's our last day with our Concerned Veterans for America group. I'm going to have the first hour is going to be the election correction report, and the second hour is going to be the Not Ready for Facebook Vaccine report. So Wednesday is going to be a ton of information. Because there's so much information that needs to go out, that's what we're going to be working on all that stuff. All right, so here's the article, and this is written by Yet Another Million People March, and this is London, May 29th. Something wonderful, something real. And Steve Cook wrote this on May 30th, so he wrote it the day after. And so UK Reloaded, and I'll be able to post it in 9 hours. So stand by, folks, you get it later. He says yesterday saw another warning. Warning shot across the bows of the globalist front group that have hijacked the nation's governance. Knock off what you're doing or else. I'm going to make this a little bit bigger so I can see it, but I'm trying to read this on the radio here. So it's an age thing, folks. You'll all get there someday. Ah, now it's bigger. Good. Okay, let me just make the video. Yesterday saw another warning shot across the bows of the globalist front group that has hijacked the nation's governance. Knock off what you're doing or else. I love this guy. He writes stuff that most Americans would be too terrified to write, or most editors wouldn't even allow. He's got the V for Vendetta sign right there by his name. I'll send it to you directly, Josie, so you can maybe post it on various sites. All right. So he says, good, thank you. He says, the London demo on the 29th was yet again huge. Good Trump word. Reports are that it was 4 miles long and comprised a million citizens. When's the last time we had a million citizen march for patriotism for our country? It hasn't happened. You had a bunch of women in pink hats. That doesn't count, folks. I'm sorry. That's not patriotism. Yeah. The article says it is impossible to know exact numbers, but as someone, who was there, I'd say these reports are pretty accurate. It was an honor to be part of it and to find oneself among so many fine people from every generation and social background. See, freedom doesn't have a racial or a gender line. It doesn't. Freedom is for everybody. That's what separates us from the leftists that want to break us down. Freedom's for everybody. Look at the people on the show. Just take a look at the folks that call into the show. We're all over the map, which is the way it should be. All right. The sheer scale of the protests was breathtaking. The latest in a long series of demos and the biggest yet. It showed that far from running out of steam, the movement is growing fast, accumulating more citizens as the list of government lies, deceits, cons, falsehoods, and efforts to terrorize grows. If it goes on this way, if the government does not get honest and straight, the architects of this attack on the nation will find that they have no friends left. The corporate media, which we have a huge one in this country, but corporate media, of course, either tries to pretend it didn't happen or to minimize it with false reports of, quote, hundreds and the usual misinterpretation of what the demonstrations are about. This is a far cry from simply, quote, reporting the news. It is, in essence, an effort to covertly control the citizenry using false or heavily redacted reports disguised as, quote, reporting the news. Dr. Fascist, that's what he does, okay? Back to the article. Yeah, if you want to comment, just leap in and say, Greg, wait a minute, I want to comment on that. Okay, so feel free to...
I will.
All right, yeah. Our article says, next paragraph, thanks to the wonders of modern technology, which is really true, it is now easy to prove what really took place and show the CMM, Corporate Media Matrix. That's another term, a term I just learned this morning, CMM, Corporate Media Matrix, up as resoundingly false. At yesterday's demonstration, there were hundreds of thousands of people taking pictures and making video clips so that by today there are in circulation hundreds of thousands of pieces of evidence that nullify the CMM effort to convey a false reality. The more and more stuff is coming out. I'm going to take a break for a second. More and more stuff is coming out about January 6th. The Gateway Pundit is reporting flashbang grenades were fired into Trump supporters. Did you see that on Facebook? Did you see that post? If not,
no.
You will. Get way funded. Okay. Yeah. I'll post it tonight. I'm trying, you know, I've sent enough people to post for me 8 hours. I'm getting my posting back. But we're going to talk about that tomorrow. Okay. So, Thursday is White Supremacist Day. Thursday, I found this test from this local school district. It's an ESOL, English as a Second Language thing. And they had a whole section on white privilege of how to admit it and, you know, all kinds of others. We're going to go, it's going to be screamingly funny, but that's Thursday. Friday, I don't know what I'm going to do. I haven't figured it out yet. But anyway, but that's what's happening here. All right, back to, I love this article. This is after all the fact that, you know, anybody can be a journalist. And you go to this article when it's posted. Well, if Josie posts it, all the better. Oh, actually, it's already on my Facebook page, the Million Person English March. They got about 6 videos that they put on here. And the crowds are amazing, and they're all over the place. And they have GMA, what's it, the genetically modified vaccine thing that they're passing off. The messenger RNA thing. They have this giant, you know, syringe, blow-up syringe. It's like, you know, 15 feet long. Don't take the vaccine. You know, we got to get connected with them, and I'm not sure how to do that yet. But I'll see if I can write Steve Cook over in England and see if we can. We have a Skype line, by the way, too, so people internationally can call in. It's not a big deal. All these things are in place. Everything's in place. We're going to get more in place. We make changes every day. All right. So inexorably, back to the article. Lie by disproven lie. The corporate media status as conveyor of news suffers the death of a thousand cuts. Its decline can be traced to its failure to do its job and to honor the trust once placed in it. Couple that unmasked dishonesty with the erosion of the pretense at impartiality. It is relatively easy to determine that editors and so forth answer to owners, and those owners have their own agenda. By way of a brief example, take Rupert Murdoch, who owns the biggest vaccine company in Australia. Gee, what a freaking surprise that is. His family has been deeply immersed in that industry for generations. He has partnerships with Glaxo and with all the big vaccine makers. See, I didn't know that. That's fascinating. Okay, so now we need to talk about the global vaccine cabal. Okay, so I posted this in Facebook. Gene posted for me in Facebook this morning. You know, all this concentration on the Wuhan lab, when we knew a year ago that the Wuhan lab was the origin of the COVID vaccine, of the COVID virus. Okay. I think it's part of the cover up. Okay. Why are they focusing on it now? Why is everybody concentrating on the origin of the virus? That's not the story. The story is the origin of the vaccine. The origin of the vaccine is Moderna. Now, Pianchi shared the article that I found in Health Impact News about all the new billionaires. Okay. The old billionaires are still making money too. Bill Gates, Zuckerberg, you know, Bezos, you know, our corrupt billionaires are making a fortune out of this because they own, you know, huge shares of stock in vaccine companies. The new billionaires are from Moderna, from China, and one guy from India. Okay? Those are the new billionaires. So Moderna, the origin of the virus, the origin of the virus is the vaccine. And the reason the virus was necessary to be created was so the vaccine could come in under an emergency use authorization and be authorized within a year, as opposed to waiting the 10 to 15 year normal time when it would be authorized, because at the end of 10 or 15 years, COVID would long since be a memory. So they had to strike while the iron's hot. They created a virus that had a limited lifespan. That limited lifespan ended last July. Everything after that is bogus reports, and I can trace that on the CDC website. Not hard to do. I've still got the original screenshots for when they were telling the truth before they started lying. The virus came in, you know, started in January, peaked in April 15th, and was gone by July. It's that simple. Everything after that is a lie. Okay? So this cabal, this worldwide Dr. Fascist, now Rupert Murdoch. Interesting how you have media people, Bill Gates, okay, you know, the WHO, the World Health Organization, and China. They all are cooperating to market this new genetic shot. And if you take it, you're a fool. I can't put it more bluntly than that. In fact, let me play let's play our warning show. Let me find my COVID PSA. Hang on a second.
And you know, Greg.
Go ahead.
Quickly, this market virus that came from the market, the wet market and all that. That'll remind me about the video in 2012 about Benghazi. Oh, it was the video. It's all a lie. Susan Rice going to all the networks. Same thing.
Well,
they did the same thing with the COVID.
the problem with that was that I actually, back when you could check out views over a certain time, now they scrubbed it, of course, as soon as people realized this. But if you look at the video, the views of that video that supposedly caused the attack on Benghazi, before the attack on Benghazi, it had about 150 views, if I remember correctly. It was about 150-something, all right? Afterwards, of course, it had millions of views because everybody wanted to see it. You know, but before, you know, you mean to tell me that 150 views caused our embassy in Benghazi to be attacked by mortars?
Yeah.
And an organ, and you're saying that's because of a friggin' video? Don't blow smoke up my butt. You know, all right. So let me play this and I'll be right back to the article. This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio. You've all heard those ads for people who have suffered medical or health tragedies, which say you may be entitled to compensation. But if you have suffered injuries or crippling diseases or medical procedures that went horribly wrong, it's not the compensation you need, it's the knowledge you should have had before the condition you suffer from now. So that you are never in that position in the future, I strongly recommend that you do not get any COVID vaccines. Get informed. Do your own research. For 99.97% of Americans, your natural immunity will give you, at worst, only moderate symptoms of COVID. If you've already had COVID, it's virtually impossible to get it again. There are effective cures for COVID, which will get you completely over the virus. There is no cure for the COVID-19 vaccines. Once you start down the road of DNA modification, there is no going back. Yeah. Yeah, I take these things very seriously.
There's no going back once you take that vaccine. That's it.
Yeah, yeah. Feel free to share that PSA. I mean, I should post these, you know, on my page and other places where people can get them and actually share them with their friends. Just a little quick technical note. Are those too loud by chance? Because I can't hear the volume. I have my own studio here on the computer. But was that okay, or is that too quiet, too loud, or is it all right?
No, it was good. It was, yeah.
All right.
And
thanks.
My phone on low, actually, so that was a good one.
Yeah.
You know, Greg, while I was in the plane, everybody's wearing the mask inside, and that makes me sad, you know? Even the little kids, everybody's wearing the mask in the plane. You're not allowed inside the plane.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, you know, they're really attacking us humans by not being able to breathe. That we have to breathe our own air, you know, that's sad, you know, that we have to be shoving it back in.
So
I was eating a whole bag of chips very slow, and I ate a whole bag of stinking M&M very slow, and I had a Pepsi very slow.
Oh, I love it. So as long as you're drinking and eating, you don't
exactly.
have to wear a mask.
You're
is that
fine.
What they're saying? Oh,
yeah.
I can just see you, you know, popping an M&M when a flight attendant walked by, right?
And my husband was eating them too fast. I said, stop. I said, you have to eat them very slow, one at a time. Don't take a handful.
Yeah.
Just one at a time, so that way you breathe. But he wanted to go to sleep. And once you're asleep, you don't know what you're doing. So he had the mask on all the way. And it had to be nice and tight around your nose. But I did not. I cheated. I do like they do. I play their little games. I ate very slow, the whole bag of chips, which is a small one, but there was plenty of chips. And I'm not a chip person, but the M&Ms one at a time, and they were very small. So that took me a long time to eat them. And we were an hour delayed.
Well, I like your strategy. Here's a question I have. Where are the airline passenger rights groups? You know, the ones that the consumer groups that always talk about, you know, getting your fares and getting, you know, if you get bumped, you have rights. You know, there's an airline passenger bill of rights somewhere. You know, I was just thinking about that. Where's the airline passenger? Where are the airline groups, the consumer groups that protect passengers?
Where are the people fighting for our rights? Yeah, where are they?
Yeah.
Let
me look that up right
now.
I got Pianki back on the line, too. Let's look it up and see. Airline passenger rights groups. Airline passenger rights groups.
All right.
What comes up?
Some of the people in the hotel.
National Association
of
Airline
hotel.
Passengers.
Did you find it?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I found a bunch of them. I'll work on this for tomorrow. Yeah, it's a bit late. Now we've only got about 25 minutes left, yeah. And I want to get back to the article, and I got Pianki. Oh, I had Pianki. He left. Come on back. Call back, dude. You're part of our show. Yeah, so hopefully we'll be back soon. Yeah, here's something. Remember when I was talking to Dr. Judy Mikovits, and I was explaining to her something that she didn't know, that an airline cabin, a passenger cabin, is not set to sea level. Okay, it's set to 8,000 feet. Well, at 8,000 mm-hmm. feet, you've already lost a certain amount of your oxygen.
Oxygen.
So this is why taking a drink of alcohol knocks you on your butt on an airplane, because you've got diminished oxygen, you've got diminished capacity to pass that through to metabolize the alcohol. That's why drinking on an airplane is stupid. All right. So if you already have a reduced oxygen, on the airplane because they're pressurized 8,000 feet, which they really have to technologically, it'd be too much, too much effort, money, and everything else to pressurize to sea level. But you pressurize 8,000, that's over a mile above the ground. All right. Denver is a mile. A 50-mile-high city, what are they? A mile is 5,280 feet. Okay, so 8,000 feet is like a mile and a third, or almost So you're up there, all right. So if you know your partial pressures, I've forgotten where the oxygen content is half, but you've lost probably 20% of your oxygen at 8,000 feet. Okay, so a mask makes it harder to breathe. Let's just use 20% just as an example. All right, so a mask makes it harder to breathe. So the reason that it's harder to breathe, you have to work harder, so you're getting less air because you're working harder. Or if you're putting the same amount of effort in, you're definitely getting less air because, it's harder to breathe through a mask. So you combine the loss of oxygen from the altitude, the loss of oxygen from the excess that you have to put in the mask. I'm surprised more people haven't passed out on these airplanes.
And you know,
probably they're all asleep.
The first 10 minutes. When I got there and I'm trying to arrange myself, I have the mask on fully to my nose because they're looking at you. I just started coughing, and it was because of the mask, because I'm not used to having a mask on my body.
Yeah.
So I took I exposed my nose, and then the flight attendant went by and she said, "You have to have it above your nose." So I did put it on. I said, "Screw it. I'm going to start eating all the bags of M&M's slowly and the chips." And chewing gum and all that, and like if I'm chewing something. So I had to take it off because it was really making me cough. And other thing I was going to mention to you?
Go ahead.
What happens with all the Muslim people that they have the muscle on their mouth all day long? I mean,
the burqas?
What happens to them? Yeah.
I think those are fairly loosely put on, but if you're wearing a burqa, do you have to wear a mask? I don't know. I think Muslims are pretty much untouchable. You can't force them to do anything. It's the latest thing. It's the one religion you can't touch.
You can
pick on the Jews, you can pick on the Christians, you can pick on pretty much everybody, but you can't pick on the Muslims. So that's kind of how things look these days. Yeah, it's interesting. That's a good question.
They have their mask on. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, of course, if you're wearing a burqa, you wouldn't know if you had a mask on or not, because the burqas cover more area of your face.
Yeah.
Hmm. But I don't know. You don't hear a lot of COVID complaints coming out of Middle Eastern countries. I wonder if they take chloroquine as a malaria or other parasite preventive. So I know that's the case in Africa.
Do.
Yeah. In Africa, they have very low incidence of COVID because they're all on chloroquine for malaria. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
There's another article I found in this. We're going to cover this one tomorrow. I'll give you a little preview of what's coming up here. This is an article, and I'll post it after 8 hours when I get my thing back. It's called "Truly Sickening: How Science Became Deceit, the Betrayal of Your Trust." Oh, that's not the one I want. This is the one I want. "The Suppression of Known Cures: Thousands Sacrificed for a Political Agenda." I actually think it's an economic agenda, but we're going to talk about that article tomorrow. What they're basically saying is what Dr. Zelenko said, what I've been saying, is that it is genocide what has happened to prevent people from getting the cures to COVID. Ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, vitamin D, vitamin C, zinc sulfate, azithromycin. That is I call it a government corporate genocide, because everybody that died, who didn't get a chance to be cured with those things was killed by the government corporate cabal in order to push vaccines on people. This article covers it. We're going to talk about that too. Let's get Pianchi on, who's finally back on the line. Dude, we're having a little phone trouble with you this morning. Welcome back.
Well, when you're talking on your show, a person needs to have three phones.
Detail. Why does one need three phones? Just to make sure you get back in, or what?
Because you got corporates on some line that's trying to cut you off.
I guess as you can call it in the deep state, but all these mysterious happenings. But I want to say this. We need to start being more proactive. And let me give you an example. What's coming up next? Independence Day, the 4th of July.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we got to look out for what's going to be, what the left is going to try to pull. You know, they had a air show down, I believe it was in Pensacola just last month in April. Well, it's June now. And you know how you have the parachuters that jump out and the last one have the American mm-hmm. flag with a streamer coming up? I bet you they try to mm-hmm. stop that. I bet you they try to replace that with a Black Lives Matter banner or something like that.
That's actually that's a fascinating point. I bet you they stopped the air show, you know, considering the carbon footprint of wasting fuel with airplanes circling around going very fast.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how unenvironmental is that? You know, for years they've been trying to stop the Blue Angels demonstration in San Francisco. So this is exactly what you're talking about. We used to love it. Okay, I mean, there are more car accidents because everybody was looking skyward. See, the Blue Angels in San Francisco, they have this long tradition. They do a show on Saturday and Sunday. But the Thursday and Friday, immediately before that, they kind of range over the city and play. So they just fly right between. They used to fly between the buildings. They don't do that anymore. But they go low over the city, and they fly, you know, between the arches of the Golden Gate Bridge and the Bay Bridge and all over the place. And it's great to have them roaring overhead. It's really fun. But, of course, the environmental wackos and the peaceniks and the crazy people come on and say, this is disgusting. It's an overt display of the military. We can't have this here. We need to get rid of them. We need to get rid of the Missouri battleship, which they did, which was stupid. You know, they get they get rid of all the things that that do represent our freedom. You know, so, yeah.
And they want to get rid of stunt pilots, too, because, you know, they inject that harmless oil in their exhaust in order to make the smoke come out the back. They're going to want to stop that also.
Stop everything fun. Remember when we talked about this, the lockdowns. All the Democrats want is work and taxes. That's it. You know, your life is to be this is the Marxist philosophy. Your life is to be reduced to work and taxes. There's no fun. There's no travel. There's no independence. There's no colorful clothing. There's no, you know, there's no cars. There's no motorcycles. There's no air shows. There's no bars, no restaurants, no church. So they close all the things that we like to do.
No face painting, American flag on the kid's face. They don't want you to plant a Black Lives Matter banner on the kid's face.
Right. No July 4th.
If not, you're racist.
Yep. No July 4th mm-hmm. unless you've had your COVID genetic modification shot.
No fireworks display at Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
Already
that's a good point,
to stop
too. That was on my list too to mention. Yeah, as soon as you start talking about this, absolutely Mount Rushmore, no fireworks.
Are they
Mount Rushmore?
What?
Yeah, you tell.
Greg,
tell
are
tell
they
Lord
saying
Jesse.
No fireworks at Rushmore?
Well, I think
they are
for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Christy Noem had to put him back in. Yeah, that's what because they don't want a celebration of the white guys on the wall on the mountain. In fact, they don't even like the mountain because it's
mountain.
Environmentally destructive. They carved a mountain. Oh no! Have you seen them on a crazy horse? By the way, it's a beautiful carving. Yeah. But that's another story. All right. Yeah, fireworks. I've always found it ironic that the government bans the symbol of our independence in fireworks, the ability of Americans to celebrate with fireworks, you know, our independence, because that's what our independence basically was, you know, gunshot battles and things like that. That's how we won it. And so to ban fireworks, to have government-approved fireworks on Independence Day really makes it Dependence Day. And that's what and now the idea that you can't celebrate unless you've had a genetic modification to a permanent modification to your body, that's insane. You know, that's dependence. So mm-hmm. we should do a special on Dependence Day. And that's what's coming out. And that's why you get free stuff and free money. It's all about making you dependent. But what we're going to do here.
Well, you know what?
Go ahead.
You know what against the fireworks, don't you? Because it was the rocket's red flare that Francis Scott Key came up with, the Star Spangled Banner. They hate
mm-hmm.
that.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yep. Rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air. Yep, absolutely. That's all part of it. So taking fireworks away makes you more dependent on government. You can only have government-approved fireworks. Now, granted, some of them are pretty good. I mean, they really are. There's some amazing displays. But that's not the point. The point is that you've taken away from Americans a symbol of our freedom, the ability to set off fireworks. Oh, yeah, I know kids get injured, and it's a horrible thing. And I mean, I get burned on sparklers
every
year.
If you got parental responsibility and parental guidance, they don't get hurt.
Mm-hmm. And sparklers are kind of cool, even though I'd usually grab the wrong end at some point and go, ow, you know, head for the cold water. You know, that'll happen. Couple things I was going to do here. You might rush away. We covered that. I've lost my train of thought here. Let's get back to this article because we only have, you know, about 14 minutes left. Piaget, I think you missed it. This is UK Reloaded. It's a fascinating website I found. And the author of this article, Steve Cook, he's got a big V for Vendetta sign. I think that's his emblem. So if you remember V for Vendetta, that was basically a government enslaving people over fear of an epidemic. That's how they did it. You know, so V for Vendetta was set in the year 2020, came out about 2006, and that is the perfect metaphor for exactly what's happening today. All right, let's go back to what the article says here. The corporate media likes to think it sets public opinion. It doesn't. If the corporate media matrix, CMM, set public opinion, we would not be seeing protests like yesterday's in London. So just to catch people up, we're talking about a real million person march over 4 miles long in London. Actually, there's several of these. The last one was, I think, just a couple of days ago, calling for the freedom from lockdown, freedom from masks, freedom from vaccines, freedom from vaccine passports, freedom to be, you know, who we are. And it's interesting that England is leading the way on freedom, you know, far more than we are, which is kind of ironic because as we celebrate independence from England, England's actually becoming the freer country in terms of what the people are willing to do to get their freedom back. I find that fascinating. We're going to make connections with England here very soon, I hope. And I want to get Nigel Farage on the show. And we're going to get a bunch of other folks. I think Steve Cook would be another one to get on. All right. Article says, and for every person who was there, that's at the protest, there are 10 who weren't for one reason or another. So one can surmise that what is occurring as our already considerable numbers grow is a seismic shift of public opinion in the direction opposite to the direction in which the corporate media matrix, leaving no truth unturned, is trying to steer it. The corporate media matrix, the CMM, is a dead irrelevance as a resource for truthful information. It has been supplanted by the people's media, which operates free of corporate oligarchical control. Thank you. That's what we do here. We are free of corporate oligarchical control. In fact, I did that on purpose. Nobody tells me how to do this show. Okay, we're starting to get sponsors. Okay, so people believe in what we're doing. Nobody orders me around. Nobody gives me a format. Nobody does anything. And I would not be able to do what I do here at Action Radio. If I had a format, we'd be stifled, stuck, and, I'd be a regular talk show host, which is obviously never going to happen again. Here we go. The people's media, multifaceted and representing the much broader and more contentious spectrum of freely exchanged ideas, is not, of course, always right in everything it says. We leave that preference or pretense to a corporate media that stifles all challenges to its orthodoxy. Yeah, I'm wrong. And if I'm wrong, I'll say I'm wrong. And if you say I'm wrong, that's okay too. And then I'll look at it and go, yeah, you're right. I was wrong. That's okay. It's okay to be wrong, you know, but it's not okay to not take bold stance. If you're going to be wrong, be bold about it, you know, and then you can still be wrong. It's okay. Back to the article. The people's media, manned by earnest human beings with no claims to omniscient infallibility, makes mistakes. But in that climate of freely exchanged and debated ideas, those mistakes can be freely challenged and debated rather than welded irrevocably into the national psyche by authoritarian diktat. Isn't that what I just said? If we make mistakes, we correct them. It's okay. Back to the article. The people's media has but to remain sincere to get its facts straight as best it can and take responsibility for honest errors. Its primary mission is to maintain the public's access to ideas, data and viewpoints outside the orthodox spectrum. It is to persuade people to use their native capabilities to inspect, question, and challenge what they are told rather than blindly accept everything that comes out of the mouths of devious politicians and the frontmen for corporate vested interests. As such, the people's media is seeking to do the exact opposite to what the corporate media is doing. Observably, the corporate media, long dead as a source of real news, is seeking to implant a matrix of ideas for which there is no challenge. That's big tech in there too, by the way. Okay, so big tech, corporate media, government, it's all tied in. Part of that effort is, for instance, trying to keep from the nation's citizens the horrible truth that there has now arisen a thus far peaceful revolt against the lies and deceit of a criminal government. And so it is incumbent upon the people's media, which in effect actually embraces every single member of the freedom movement with a voice to speak or a social media or email account through which to relay to disseminate as broadly as possible the evidence of what really happened. In other words, share Action Radio. Just get my plug in there. So here is our contribution, which is also a celebration, courtesy of some very fine people who made these videos and BitChute that published them, of the fact that in the face of oppression, humanity is rising. And it goes on with a series of videos, and it says what really happened yesterday was something wonderful. Now, who heard about all the wonderful marches in England fighting for freedom? Hands up, please.
I did not. I did not hear it. I was busy.
Well, I know you're busy. Yeah. Now, isn't that fascinating? A million-person march in England fighting for freedom. You didn't hear a word about it.
No.
That is staggering. I had to go to an English source to find this. Actually, I got it from a health source. You know, Brian Shively, who just does some amazing work. All right. Let me see. Where do I want to go now? I think let's go back to our freedom discussion. I found something kind of scary in the both the Salon article of what they consider freedom. But let's go to a great source. Let's go to an authoritative source. Let's go to history.com. All right. Isn't that audacious of them? History. They've got history. And this is from August 31st, 2018. Updated, I guess, June 29th, from Sarah Pruitt. And Sarah Pruitt says, the American experiment has been both high and low moments in ensuring freedom for its citizens. It doesn't ensure freedom. It stands out of the way. Take a look at eight times the nation made strides toward ensuring life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I want to know what you think of these. We've got a few minutes on each one. I'm going to read all eight. And then I want you to notice where the trend changes. All right? Think about this. Number one, the Declaration of Independence. Number two, the Bill of Rights. Number three, the abolition of slavery. Number four, yearning to breathe free, the era of immigration. Number five, the 19th Amendment, that's women voting. Number six, D-Day. Number seven, the Civil Rights Act of 1964. And the last act of freedom, the freedom to marry, that's LGBT same-sex marriage. That's what History.com thinks are our greatest moments of freedom. Comments, ladies and gentlemen?
Well, I don't like the LGBTQPS. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Bianchi?
Well, I'm kind of with Josie. You know, I wish the founding fathers had a crystal ball where they could look into the future. And if they was able to do that, our Constitution would be as thick as a telephone book.
Well, no, the beauty of the Constitution is that it is, you know, very straightforward and very, very sensible and very logical and very short. Brevity is the strength of our Constitution. See, here's what people fail to understand too. Constitutions are not laws that limit people. Constitutions limit governments. Okay. The federal Constitution limits the federal government, and by virtue of the 14th Amendment limits every other government as well, to make sure that we keep our rights. That's what the Bill of Rights is all about. I should probably do another little special on that. State constitutions limit the state governments. They don't give powers to do different things. That's why having a minimum wage bill in our Florida Constitution is insane. Laws limit people. Okay? Laws are designed to limit behavior that we find disgusting. You know, murder, rape, theft, extortion, you know, blackmail. You know, all the things that we have, the embezzlement, you know, all the things that we consider crimes, carjacking, all that kind of stuff. Those are crimes that limits individual behavior. But constitutions should only limit government behavior. Now, here's where I think they
absolutely
got it right. Thank you. The Declaration of Independence, absolutely. The Bill of Rights, definitely. The abolition of slavery, absolutely. Yearning to breathe free, the era of immigration, Okay, this is where they screwed up, all right? So now think about that. So this is early 1900s, all right? Ellis Island, you know, and where do they go? They go right to this poem by Emma Lazarus. It's one of the worst things ever written. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. Okay. That's the new Colossus. All right. So Ellis Island let in, you know, they say 20 million immigrants, okay? Except the Chinese immigrants, because we had the Chinese Exclusion Act of 1882. So we screwed over the Asians and let the Europeans in. That's why Ellis Island was so big. I mean, Angel Island was also was an immigration point in the West Coast too, but you don't hear about it because it wasn't as big because we excluded Asians at that point. All right, but I find this fascinating that the Statue of Liberty has nothing to do with immigration. Okay, Statue of Liberty has to do with our war for independence against England. The reason France gave us the Statue of Liberty, I should do one of these on that too. The reason France gave us the Statue of Liberty is to celebrate our liberty, not to celebrate our immigration policies. This is where
and that immigration was added later, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was much later.
It wasn't originally with the statue.
No, so the poem was sometime in the early 1900s, and the statue is like in the 1800s. Yeah, they're like 50 years apart. Oh, yeah. We only have 5 minutes left. I'll go more into this. The 19th Amendment, women's right to vote. I agree with that. You cannot be a society if half the population can't. You can't be a free society if half the population can't vote. Having said that, I wish women wouldn't be such socialists when they do vote. Josie?
Yeah. I was going to say about the Liberty, the Statue of Liberty. My husband's family came from Italy, and they came straight to Ellis Island, and they all got tested for any kind of disease or anything bringing from outside their country. And you know what? And they have to stay there until everything got checked out. If not, they put them in a special place. And my husband's grandfather had TB, and they had to put him in a special area.
Yeah, when
he came here.
Yeah, that'd be a good story sometime if you want to go more into it. I've only got 3 minutes left. I want to make sure I cover a couple more points. One, D-Day.
Okay.
D-Day, we fought for Europe's freedom, and we fought against Japan for our freedom. You know, we fought against Nazi Germany coming to the United States, although I think the Atlantic Ocean would have had a lot to do with them having a difficult time invading us. But D-Day we can talk about. Civil Rights Act of 1964, absolutely. Sure wish we went by it. I sure wish we went by Martin Luther King's, you know, dream that we judge on the content of character, not on the color of skin. The left seems to have forgotten that. Here's where they screwed up, though. Freedom to marry? Excuse me. Marriage is a contract between two people. It cannot be considered an individual right. In fact, marriage isn't a right at all. Marriage is a contract, you know, sanctioned by God and licensed by the state. Now, you can criticize whether it should be sanctioned by God or licensed by the state. But the simple fact is, marriage has a definition. Definition is a man and a woman, sanctioned by God, licensed by the state, you know, form a family unit, the nuclear family. That's what it is. So this idea that that two people of the same sex can use the same word and that's a freedom, that's insane. It's actually destruction of freedom because it destroys the freedom of marriage to exist as an independent thing. That's how I feel about that.
And Greg, and they're trying to convince young kids in middle school that men can get pregnant.
I don't want to talk about that now. Yeah. Yeah.
Sad.
Let me get to, yeah, it's very, I mean, that and gender, you know, reassignment, all this other kind of crap, that's just to destroy people. That's to make sure that, you know, that people get the mistaken, propagandistic, absolute lie that there are no genders, that you can be whatever you want. Absolute nonsense. You know, God gives you, you know, a DNA. You're either a male or a female. Nothing can change that. All right. What I found interesting is what this history thing did not include. They did not include the freeing of Eastern Europe from communism and the takedown of the Berlin Wall. They did not include the great tax cuts of Reagan and Trump. They did not include the great deregulation that came under Trump, and they did not include the energy independence that came under Trump. You guys seeing a pattern here? You know?
Yep.
That our freedom is freedom from government. It's freedom from taxation. It's freedom from regulation. It's freedom from all the oppressive burdens that go back to the Declaration of Independence that Thomas Jefferson wrote, that we needed freedom from the British doing. You know, freedom from oppression of religion, freedom from lockdowns, freedom from masks. You know, Thomas Jefferson would be rebelling exactly with us today against the same things that we here at Action Radio are rebelling against. But people seem to relate freedom to freedom to marry and some of this other nonsense when the real freedom is freedom for everybody, you know, is freedom from taxes, freedom from regulation, and freedom to live your life as you choose, free from government oppression and even infringement, the touching of your life in any way that applies to your rights. 50 seconds. Who wants it? Anyway, that's my message.
Well, you just have a blessed day, and we're going to have some exciting coming up. Hopefully people calling us.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll be talking to you off the air. Not right away, because I got some stuff to do, but I'll contact you. We'll
God bless. We'll
see if we can get some things happening. Pianki, thanks for contributing too. Appreciate having you on the show. And there's a lot of things I'll be able to tell you about as the days go on. But I just want to remind folks that if you ever want to get Action Radio in your car, all you have to do is get Action Radio at blogtalkradio.com/citizenaction in your cell phone. Connect your cell phone to your car audio, and there we are, drive time. You are not stuck listening to commercial radio. Also, if you want to contribute to us at Patreon, patreon.com/actionradio gets you in. This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio. Back tomorrow at 7 o'clock in the morning Central Time.